We're back on the Bengals Beat podcast, a little post-game edition. The Cincinnati Bengals got their first win of the season after beating Jacksonville on Sunday. I'm Lindsay Patterson alongside Tyler Dragon and Charlie Goldsmith. How you guys doing?
This is the first podcast of the season that we can actually talk about a Bengals win. It's not loss after loss after loss. So it's going to be a little bit different this podcast, and I think we can all enjoy a little bit of a different conversation this podcast this time around, since the Bengals actually won a game, which we don't, Lindsay and I can speak to this. We haven't had many wins over the course of 2 years since we've started this podcast. So this is our third one. So this is our third podcast that we're talking about. We get to talk about a win, which is very few and far between considering it's been 2 years.
And don't forget, we all won as well. We all picked the Bengals to win this game. I'm not keeping track personally how our picks are going, but I'll take a win for the picks when I can get it. So good job on all of us.
Oh, I'm keeping track, Charlie. Don't worry. I think I'm winning on the picks. So I've only missed one, and now it's a tie. So I technically have no losses this year.
I think whatever. It's a long season. It'll be determined on what's going to happen. And again, we'll get to the Baltimore Ravens later in the week. We'll just focus right now on win number one for Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals in 2020. You watch that game, guys, and we'll get into position groups in just a moment. How do you measure that win? Because a lot of people will point and say, well, it's just Jacksonville. But when you look at three of their games this season, two of them they were in. I'm not going to count the Cleveland game because of the defense. But when you look at Sunday's game and Sunday's win, how do you measure that as a team?
Well, there is a reason why the Bengals were predicted to win by all of us. Vegas had them winning. Most pundits around the NFL and the country had the Bengals winning on Sunday. And it is a testament to them and what they're building that they were able to pull that game off. And, you know, in the second half, really took control of that game and really kind of won convincingly. You know, they pretty much scored in every possession in the second half, with the exception of kneeling the clock down and victory formation. But yes, they performed well, and they should feel proud about winning a game that they were supposed to win. We all know the Bengals, they are in rebuild mode. Most realists don't expect them to win, go 10-6, or even win 9 games or go 8-8. But, you know, a rebuild team, they need to be able to win those winnable games. And they have been in every single game thus far, even the Cleveland game. They, you know, they were within striking distance, even though for me, you, and Charlie, it never really felt like the Bengals were going to win that game, but they kept it close and kept it competitive. So that is a positive sign, and that is a sign that this team is moving in the right direction.
If you pick up the front page of the sports section of the Cincinnati Inquirer today, you will see Joe Burrow looking up at the stands with a smile on his face and a thumbs up. It reminded me a lot of the moments he had last season, those big celebrations he had after LSU wins, celebrations he had after playoff wins in the college football championship. He finally got to have one of those moments. And for a quarterback who's as competitive as Burrow, and for a quarterback with the expectations and the pressure of being the future of the franchise, you know, having a moment like that really does mean something almost intangible. Even this win is going to be worth more to the Bengals than whenever the next win comes to them. I asked Zach Taylor yesterday what it means for Joe specifically to get his first win. And Zach Taylor said that the monkey's off his back. It's almost like what it was like for Zach Taylor last year after he got his first win at the Bengals. He's done it. He's won. So now that's not the looming question over Joe Burrow's career anymore. And I want to add one more thing based off Tyler's point. I think that Joe Burrow has done enough to lead the Bengals to a win in all four games. you know, starting with the Chargers, if that ball gets caught without pass interference by AJ Green, the Bengals win that game, or they could have won the game in overtime. Against Cleveland, if the Bengals run defense got one stop, Joe Burrow, I would have bet, would have led the Bengals on a touchdown drive to follow based off how hot he was in that game. Against Philadelphia, the Bengals were one stop away in the fourth quarter from winning. Finally, Joe Burrow has that moment. Finally, it all came together. And it means a lot for the guy.
I think one thing really stood out in Joe Burrow's post-game presser yesterday. He said a lot of things, and he always does ever since he got drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals back in April. But he had said that him and Zach Taylor go over plays that are comfortable for him. With Zach Taylor calling the plays, and then the night before, look over the top three, one, two, three, that's the one. I think both of them need each other because you have a guy who is your head coach who's calling the plays, and you get to tell him what you're comfortable with. And it works out for both of them. I mean, you watch a couple of the plays yesterday. That one interception, that's not on Joe Burrow. It's Drew Sample all day. Joe Burrow wasn't afraid to go back to Drew Sample. And just when he throws the ball, when you look at, no offense to Andy Dalton, but every time Andy Dalton threw the ball, you hope it was going to a receiver. You were hoping it wasn't underthrown. And you never knew what was going to happen in the games. Bad Andy, good Andy. That's what you would see throughout Andy Dalton's career in Cincinnati. But with Joe Burrow, his confidence, what he's been able to do, and we've talked enough about the offensive line. We'll get to that in just a moment. After four games, I'm going to put you guys on the spot here. Is this after four games? I know Tyler is hard on people, but after four games, is this guy a top 10 quarterback?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now
I just threw you.
Now I am hard on people, but I know you're misoptimistic. I will say this: Joe Burrow is the best rookie quarterback right now. There's not a lot of competition. It's just he and Justin Herbert who's been playing as a rookie quarterbacks right now. Now, top 10. I can't say that right now. He's not top 10, but I mean, he's not in the bottom tier of quarterbacks either. And that is a compliment to him. He's only played in four NFL games. So I can't go as far as top 10. I can say he's probably in that 15 range, which is great. He's a rookie quarterback. I know fans, especially Bengals fans, they'll disagree with me, but I'm honestly giving Joe Burrow a compliment. You have to remember, this guy has had limited snaps in NFL. He's had no preseason. The Bengals threw him out in the fire and he's performed well. The first rookie quarterback to have three consecutive games of at least 300 yards, and he's, you know, broke the completion record last week. So he has performed well, and, you know, he's been as advertised. I cannot go as far as a top 10 quarterback right now, though. There are a lot of good quarterbacks in NFL right now.
So first I'm going to talk about Joe and then expand to answer Lindsay's question, because I think it's a very good one. What Joe Burrow has done in the intermediate passing game for passes between 10 to 20 yards has been incredible. As much as we vaunted the Bengals wide receiving core heading into the season, in reality, T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd have been the only consistently reliable wide receivers that Joe Burrow's had. You know, unless you want to count Mike Thomas or Drew Sample or Auden Tate as someone, but they haven't been there every game. Even though Joe Burrow doesn't have as great passing weapons as we expected, he's been incredible. You know, one of my favorite plays from yesterday is down in the red zone in the second quarter, he threw that first touchdown to Joe Mixon. From what we heard, it seems like that was Burrow's audible at the line of scrimmage to have Mixon fully commit to going out for that pass. He read the defense and it worked. And he's made incredible passes to Tyler Boyd, to T. Higgins yesterday. It's really working. So now let's answer Lindsay's question, because he's clearly the best rookie quarterback in the league. I think that Joe Burrow is the second best quarterback in the AFC North. I think that based off what we've seen so far, he's just more effective than Ben Roethlisberger and Baker Mayfield.
Oh.
Whoa.
I agree, Charlie.
Whoa. That's so disrespectful to Ben Roethlisberger.
I agree. I agree with Charlie.
Baker Mayfield had his best game in literally years. One of the stories of the game against the Bengals, one of the stories after that game was how Baker was back, but Joe Burrow outplayed him just completely. Statistically, he made it. Baker had the best throw of the game, but I think that Joe Burrow had some of the next three or four best throws of the game. And then Ben Roethlisberger, I think, is just still a question mark. You know, you can debate that one, but even if you give Ben Roethlisberger, just look around the rest of the AFC. The only really great, really, you know, solid quarterbacks there are Josh Allen, Cam Newton, of course, Mahomes. And then other than that, there's Deshaun Watson, who's great. He's in the upper echelon. And then Ryan Tannehill and Phillip Rivers. It's not like there's a murderer's row of quarterbacks in the AFC. I think that Joe Burrow is starting to have a stake in the pecking order. Doc wrote it in his column today. Burrow's a very good quarterback. There's no need to qualify it by mentioning that he's a rookie.
Okay, hold on. I have to interfere now. Okay, let's go down. I'm going to go down the entire AFC, and then I'm going to do the NFC real quickly. Okay. So in the AFC East, now Josh Allen, that could be a debate. Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. Josh Allen's performed well this season, so you probably have to give it to Allen.
I would as well. I agree with that.
Cam Newton. Cam Newton's a former MVP. Played well. Thoughts and prayers. Hopefully he gets over the coronavirus. But, you know, he's better than Joe Burrow right now. Overall body of work. And, you know, he's probably a better quarterback right now. So that's two. Mm-hmm. AFC North. We all know Lamar Jackson. That's not even a debate. Ben Roethlisberger. I have to give Big Ben. I mean, Big Ben. To me, Big Ben is better right now. Experience, playmaking. We'll see them go up against each other in a few weeks here, but I give Big Ben.
Ben Roethlisberger is only averaging 6.5 yards per attempt.
That's fine.
It's kind of been who he's been.
That's fine, but I still give Big Ben the edge.
Stop living in the past, Tyler.
I'm living in the present too. Okay, Deshaun Watson. Even though Houston Texans, they're winless, he's better. After that, Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers past his prime. I think Joe Burrow, you can make a legit argument that Joe Burrow is better than Phillip Rivers right now. So then we go up to the AFC West. Patrick Mahomes, we're not even going to debate that. So, you know, that's six. What is that? Six quarterbacks already in the AFC that I have is better. By my calculation, I think that's six.
I think that he is in the same tier as guys like Allen, Cam Newton.
Okay, but I'm just in the AFC now. So now let's go in the NFC. Dak Prescott, I got to give the edge to still. Wentz is having a tough season. Right now, Burrow's performed better than Wentz. Right now. Jury's still out, though. NFC North, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, we're not going to debate that. Matthew Stafford, same tier right now. And that's a compliment to Joe Burrow. Matthew Stafford's been in this league a long time. That's debatable. Matty Ice, even though the Falcons are struggling, you got to give it Matty Ice. Drew Brees. We're not going to debate that. Tom Brady, even though he's past his prime, we're not going to debate that either. Kyler Murray, no. Russell Wilson, no. So, I mean, that's in the top 15 range. I think I named, 13 quarterbacks better by my calculation. I was going down really fast off the top of my head. But, you know, that's pretty good right there for a rookie quarterback who's only started 4 games. So not top 10, but in that next tier.
All right, I'm going to blow off some PFF numbers because if you go on PFF today, Joe Burrow is owning it right now. 0 preseason games. He is the 6th ranked quarterback among quarterbacks after 4 games. I have more. I'm not done yet if you want to know more PFF numbers. Highest graded quarterback ahead of all those quarterbacks you named, except for Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen. He's sitting at number 5. Oh, there's Joe Burrow again. Highest graded offensive rookie. sitting at number four over on PFF. So he is here. He is here to prove Tyler that he is a top 10 quarterback or playing like a top 10 quarterback.
I think he's in the 10 to 12 range. I think that the best case to make for Joe Burrow is the degree of difficulty of what he's doing. The really hard throws that he's making into tight windows, playing behind an offensive line that we've discussed at large, playing with a running game that has had one good game all season, and playing with a wide receiver core that only has two consistent players right now. I think that bumps Burrow up from the 15 to 18 range to the 10 to 15 range. That's where I think he's at.
I mean, that means we agree. I said around that 15 range.
Okay.
I didn't say that. I won't go top 10. Wait, hold on. You said top 10 at the beginning.
I just threw out a number. I didn't say top 10.
I could have sworn you said top
10. My take was he's the second best quarterback in the AFC North.
Okay. That's an extremely hot take.
But I like it, though, because you know what? I think people look at Ben and they say, oh, but he's won all these Super Bowls. I want to see him do it again. I want to see him. And look, his team might get back to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying they won't, because they are going to be one of the playoff teams. It's not a hot take when you look at them after 3 weeks of football for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I don't know about Ben. I don't know.
Tyler, you're not even considering.
You need to win one game right now for your life. Are you starting Joe Burrow at quarterback or Ben Roethlisberger?
Which Ben?
Right now. Ben, right now. I'm not going off 2005 Ben Roethlisberger. I'm going right now.
I don't know, man. That's a good question, but that's tough. That's tough.
Ben Roethlisberger is throwing fewer yards per attempt than he has in all but one season in his career. His passer rating isn't anywhere near as high as it used to be. He's taken 5 sacks this season for 50 yards. So he's clearly not making as many plays, making a positive impact running out of the pocket, which was his forte when he would kill the Bengals. I don't think that Ben Roethlisberger is as viable of an option as Joe Burrow right now.
All right, we're moving on from Joe Burrow, the Joe Burrow podcast, to start off after the Bengals get their first win of the season. One good news on the offensive front, though, they were able to balance out the offense. It's something we've been talking about for a couple weeks now. When you're playing from behind, it's really hard to get Joe Mixon involved, but Joe Mixon had himself a day. Yeah, it was against Jacksonville's defense, but is this offense finally going to be balanced?
For the Bengals' sake, for the fans' sake, if they want to win, this is what the offense should look like. You know, Joe Burrow had 36 passing attempts. The Bengals had 34 rushing attempts. And for Joe Mixon, that was his second best rushing output of his career. He's the first Bengals running back since Corey Dillon to have 2 rushing touchdowns and a receiving touchdown in a game since 2001. So that was a stellar performance by Joe Mixon, one of the best games of his career. The offense, I mean, I've been saying it since I've got here, that the offense should go through Joe Mixon, and then they should marry the run game with the pass. But the Bengals should rely on Joe Mixon first and then build off that and then work on the pass game. Because once, you know, you establish the run – and you make that effective, then you can start doing play action passes, bootlegs, and that just opens things up. And that's even more paramount when you have a rookie quarterback back there. That helps him out a lot. So, you know, we saw Joe Burrow have arguably his best game of the season. And a major reason why is because Joe Mixon had his best game of the season, and their running game really got started and was really effective in Sunday's win.
I wrote an article in the preseason about how quarterbacks who played with running backs who were top 10 in certain categories the previous year, those quarterbacks had more yards, better completion percentage, more touchdowns, fewer interceptions, fewer sacks. I think there is a statistical case, just a factual case, that establishing the run significantly helps the passing game. I think that over the first few games of the season, it has kind of been more on the offensive line for not opening up those paths for Mixon than it has been on Mixon. And I think we saw yesterday again when the openings are there for Joe Mixon and when, importantly, more creative ways are being created to get Joe Mixon the ball, the offense works better. You know, now the tape's out on some of that. Now, you know, the Ravens will be able to see the pitches and the screens and the passes out of the backfield Burrow gave to Mixon. So now the Bengals will have to continue to find ways to be more creative in getting Mixon the ball.
A little over a year ago, Tyler Dragon made his way to Cincinnati. And one of the biggest topics we've been talking about, and we've just talked about it mostly this season and the offseason, is the offensive line in Cincinnati. And it's just been the talk for a while they play musical chairs and they really figure out who they're going to put on the right side. And everyone has complaints about Bobby Hart. We've talked enough about the negative side of the offensive line. Yesterday, Alex Redmond got the start at right guard. Look, to be determined when they face the Ravens next week and what it's really going to look like for them, because it's a tough road ahead for the Cincinnati Bengals after win number one. When you look at this offensive line play, is Alex Redmond going to be the guy? And what positives did you guys see? Because they obviously got the ground game going and they were able to balance out the offense.
Well, he should definitely be the guy while Xavier Suofilo is on IR with an ankle injury. Zach Taylor said that he's probably going to miss a few more weeks, and that was last week, so I probably expect him to miss the game in Baltimore, and then we can start looking at, you know, if he's healthy enough to play and the games after that. But yeah, Alex Redmond's performance, he earned a shot to start his second consecutive game in week 5 in Baltimore. He was probably one of the best offensive linemen of the day. I think Jonah Williams probably had the best outing amongst the offensive linemen. Then you can get into the debate, okay, maybe it was Trey Hopkins second, but you know, Alex Redmond was right there in the mix of things. He didn't allow a sack, only allowed 2 pressures by my calculation. And he was really involved in the run game. Zach Taylor complimented him for his, you know, aggressiveness in the run game. Even Jonah Williams, you know, gave Redmond some praise during Monday's press conference, saying, you know, he really attacked things offensively and, you know, was really aggressive up front and helped contribute to the Bengals running for over 200 yards and having, you know, a good day protecting Joe Burrow. He was only sacked 1 time, wasn't hit that many times. So yeah, overall it was a good performance by Alex Redmond, but also that entire offensive line.
So I was thinking today about how the Bengals have never had a considerable amount of depth on the offensive line and what that could mean if 2 things happen. If Redmond continues to play as well as he did, and 2, if that lasts until Xavier Suofilo comes back. I was wondering how many spots on the Bengals offensive line are fully solidified, are fully safe from someone potentially coming up behind them and playing well. You know, for example, if Akeem Adeniji starts looking like Willie Anderson in practice, he might be in the mix at right tackle or something like that. I was thinking, what if Alex Redmond keeps playing the way he is? Would the Bengals consider moving Xavier Suofilo back to his spot at left guard? Do they, you know, consider using this as an opportunity to reshuffle some of the pieces on the offensive line? I think that Trey Hopkins and Jonah Williams are pretty set at center and left tackle, and I don't think there is an option on the same level as Bobby Hart at right tackle right now. But if Alex Redmond turns out to be a solid offensive lineman, turns out to be someone capable of starting on this team, the Bengals start to have some pieces that they're able to play with. It's interesting.
No, I actually like that, because a lot of people don't want to talk about the play of Michael Jordan, because Jonah Williams has really stepped up at left tackle and Trey Hopkins has helped him out too, but he's struggling on the left side. So that's to be determined when Xavier does come back, who and where he goes. And if Alex Redmond keeps playing really well at right guard, if you remove him from there, we'll go to wide receivers right now, because Tyler Boyd is doing it again. He's stepping up as a number one receiver. This time, AJ Green isn't hurt. Who would have thought going into 4 weeks of football that John Ross and AJ Green both are healthy? One was a healthy scratch and the other one just really hasn't been involved. I know, Tyler, you want to stick up for your guy. And a lot of people will look at him and say, maybe he's just getting old. I do still think he's trying to gain that confidence back. But when you have guys like Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins who really have gained that chemistry, even Drew Sample, despite that interception in the end zone yesterday, they're getting that connection to chemistry with Joe Burrow. And they really got that this past offseason and even during training camp. When is it going to happen with A.J. Green?
I mean, but if I knew the answer to that, I would probably be either a doctor or a coach or maybe a priest. But, you know, I will say this. A.J. Green's acceleration, his explosion, it doesn't seem there right now. And, you know, he does look a step or two slower. Now, some of that can be attributed to, you know, injuries of late. And some of that can be attributed to, you know, age. However, I'm still going to give him a week or two just to see, because like I always say, it takes a while to knock the rust off when you've missed a year of football. And that's what A.J. Green has had to deal with. And then on top of that, he's had no preseason like everybody else and a rookie quarterback to build a connection with. Now, yesterday was not the finest outing at all by A.J. Green. You know, he was being followed around by, you know, Jacksonville cornerbacks and lesser tier cornerbacks, and they pretty much, you know, outperformed him and held him in check. And you would like to see A.J. Green win those individual matchups. So this week in Baltimore, it's just going to get harder. But, you know, in his career, historically, he's had good games against the Ravens. So I'm going to be interested to see how A.J. Green rebounds after a performance like week four, and then really for most of this season, early season. Now, week one, he led the team in receptions and receiving yards, although it wasn't that much, but, you know, he did do that. As far as the other receivers, I am really impressed with T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. They had 15 combined targets in Sunday's win. They combined for 11 receptions for 167 yards. They have built a really good rapport with Joe Burrow. And it is obvious that Burrow likes looking their way. Like, they are his number one option, number one and number two options. Most of the time, he drops back to pass. So you can tell that he feels comfortable throwing their way. So that is good news for the Bengals, because that means, you know, that next step of receivers, you know, for years to come, they have, you know, a good future. You know, A.J. Green, he's more towards the latter portion of his career. But obviously, Tyler Boyd, he still has hopefully several years if he remains healthy. And T. Higgins, he's just a rookie. So he and Joe Burrow can grow together. So that is good news for the Bengals and fans that they have, you know, some key ingredients, young ingredients in place to build with.
So there was a play yesterday that really stood out to me. It was third down. I forget if it was in the first or the second quarter, but it was on one of the Bengals' first drives. Burrow threw what should have been a touchdown to Tyler Boyd that ended up being called back because of a holding penalty on Trey Hopkins. The play was, it was third down. A.J. Green was on the sidelines. The play was designed to get Tyler Boyd one-on-one for a jump ball contested catch in the end zone. Boyd ends up like turning around, turning his body, hauling it in, literally exactly like A.J. Green has done dozens of times for the Cincinnati Bengals, making just a spectacular catch in the end zone. It felt like a passing of the torch to me. You know, again, that had been A.J. Green's thing. Making catches on third down, making contested catches in the end zone, ending up on SportsCenter for some of those grabs. Tyler Boyd was the one who the play was called for. You know, with A.J. Green, you know, I think that Zach Taylor and the coaching staff they have there are a lot more, you know, what they have to say about whether or not AJ Green still has it is a lot more relevant than what I have to say. But I know how they used him yesterday. I know that in one of the biggest moments of the first half, they drew a play that had always gone to AJ Green and they gave it to Tyler Boyd. That action speaks very loudly about how they view the pecking order in the wide receiver room right now.
It's really hard with AJ Green too, because the guy has been nothing but professional since he was drafted in 2011. He's, you know, had injuries he's had to deal with, and he's bounced back and he's just trying to get a healthy season in a season where they're four games in and he's relatively pretty healthy right now. And he should be the number one receiver out there. And maybe it is rust. Maybe it is gaining his confidence back. But to think that this team might have a really easy decision come December, January, that they might be moving on from this guy, it's sad in a way when you look at the wide receiver room to think that, you know, it wasn't because he was injured. It was because he wasn't the same AJ Green. And look, they still have plenty of games to prove that he can do it and he could play for another contract elsewhere. But right now, it's not looking good on the AJ Green front. But good news for the wide receiver room, they do have T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd who have really stepped up. The flip side to the defense, they got problems when it comes to going into halftime, giving up points. But other than that, I feel like they really stepped up versus Jacksonville. And it's a huge week, too, because there is a chance that Geno Atkins can play for the first time in 2020. What are they going to look like? And is this going to be a repeat against the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday, Tyler?
Well, Zach Taylor did leave the door open for Geno Atkins making his season debut in week 5. We still don't know yet. It seems like he is getting better. He was practiced on a limited basis last week. You expect him to ramp up more practice activity once they get back out on the field on Wednesday. To answer your question, though, will he make a huge difference in Baltimore? He was in those games last year against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, and it really didn't make a huge difference. I know we're going to do our picks later on in the week, but I don't have a good forecast for the Bengals in Baltimore at all. I just think that even with the defense playing better and them like forcing turnovers, Jordan Evans had an interception in week 4. I do think that they are playing better, stopping the run and, you know, with pass defense. But the Ravens, they're a different animal. They're Super Bowl contenders. And I just think that the Bengals are a couple years away from reaching that level that the Ravens are on right now.
So to answer the question about the end of halves and the end of games and the defense, look at how this defense is built for a second. You know, three of their best players on defense are DJ Reader, Josh Bynes, Jermaine Pratt. A lot of those guys aren't on the field for third down packages and for basically they use their third down package sometimes in the last 2 minutes. As a result, I'm just going to read some of the names who played time yesterday during the last 2 minutes of the first half. You would see Christian Covington out there. You would see Akeem Davis Gaither out there on third down packages. You saw Amani Bledsoe out there some. Evans had some time out there. Those aren't people who the Bengals necessarily were banking on being huge parts of their defenses, part of their defense this season. I'm putting it kindly, you know, those aren't their starters. Those aren't their best players on defense. So you look at why the defense might be struggling in these situations. Well, especially with Logan Wilson and Mackenzie Alexander out, there aren't a ton of the Bengals' most highly regarded defensive players who excel in that part of the game. Part of that's on roster construction, but that's what I've noticed in that situation.
Like Tyler said, we'll have plenty during the week. We're going to have our picks coming up on Thursday. Again, the Bengals get their first win of the season, first under Joe Burrow. We'll see if there's more to come in the 2020 season, but there's plenty on Cincinnati.com. What's up there, guys?
So I have my what we learned from the week 4 win. There's a lot on there. I really think the Bengals took the next step in their development process, especially getting a win over a team that their quite frankly, better than. And also today I have a story up on how the Bengals offense should look and why that they established their offensive identity on Sunday versus Jacksonville.
Check out my game story from yesterday if you haven't already. I'll have my weekly story on Joe Burrow's 5 most interesting plays coming soon. And I'm working on a feature for the weekend that I'm really excited about. Back in 2014, the 2 most slighted quarterbacks on the high school recruiting circuit were Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. They're 2 of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL right now, and they're facing off for the first time on Sunday.
Make sure you guys check it out, Cincinnati.com, ENQ Sports over on Twitter, ENQ Bengals. Also, if you want to hear from Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor, all of that's on Cincinnati.com. And thank you for joining us on the Bengals Beat Podcast.